Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Right Owl Politics. My name is Ariana Mendez, your host, coming to you from Miami, Florida. I'm a Cuban-American attorney from South Florida and a conservative political analyst. So welcome to the show. In this part two of our special series, Let's Get Uncomfortable, a candid conversation about race issues today, we again have our amazing panel of girl bosses. We have Naima J. Lafferty. She has a JD from St. Thomas University School of Law, also a master's in business administration. We have Yesenia Escobedo, who is a Florida attorney. And we also have Ms. Cassandra Nosal, who has a bachelor's in economics and finance, and who is a medical device sales rep for Integra Life Sciences. Just an amazing panel, really incredible women on this panel, and it was a pleasure to be able to deep dive into a little bit different issues. We discussed race, but then the immigration debate came up and how immigrants play a role in this overall theme of racial issues. We discussed Cuban Americans, their voting behaviors. We discussed President Trump immigration policy. And we really went into places that are usually not discussed in these conversations, and really had an honest analysis of how each person views these issues, and, you know, also address certain misconceptions that each side may have on a particular topic. So it was a really interesting talk. At times it got a bit heated, but always respectful, because this panel is just awesome and they're just awesome ladies. So thank you guys for listening. So let's jump right in. So I want to pose this question. Is America an inherently racist country? Jesse?
The way I feel about this, and I'm going to go out and directly say it, is I feel like we need to stop pretending that racism is not something that exists in our country specifically. If we just look at numbers and we just think of logic, now I'm not going to throw statistics or anything, but there's nothing to really back me up other than just what I think and observe and I've witnessed. It has been 52 years MLK was assassinated. 52 years. If we run the numbers, okay, assuming someone was 18 years old at that time, in 1968. Today, they are 70. They are 70. They might be in a position of power. And not only that, forget about their position. They were 18. They grew up in an environment where blacks and whites could not marry. Loving versus Virginia, I'm pretty sure, was 1967, okay? So if you grew up witnessing complete segregations in school, in marriages, and in this environment, there were some people that fought for black individuals and minorities, but there were a lot that were against it. Let's face it, that's the truth, okay? And they went off and they had children, and they raised their children the way they were raised, with their beliefs. So if they're 70 right now, their children, let's say, are 40. Let's say they're 30. And now those same individuals have had kids. So there is no way for me to believe in my mind that that racism doesn't exist. That there is not a group of individuals out there that still have this very backwards way of thinking, despite how much we've progressed. I think the United States has changed. The world has changed dramatically in the last 52 years. We went from no cell phones to now cell phones to internet, fast access, Instagram, Tinder, everything, you name it. But to believe or to think that we are so advanced and so progressed, and that the United, there's no way there's no racism involved. There's no way racism isn't involved in this equation. I think that's a crazy way to think. I think we need to be realistic and say, look, racism exists. And the minute we see it, we need to address it. And if it's something that, even if it's not a racist action, but something that could offend someone, that we need to speak about it, and we need to educate each other and learn together. I think the United States is an inherently racist country. It's our history. We can't deny our history. And we can't deny that our history was just 52 years ago.
My answer is going to be really short. Yes, racism exists. Yes, we were inherently racist. That's how we took over. We took over things with our group of people. I think that it is a problem. I think that we need to move forward as a society. And the answer is yes. I'm not going to argue that point whatsoever. I think you would have to be blind, deaf, and have serious issues to not see that.
So in 1960, Americans were asked whether they would vote a black man as president. 60% of Americans in 1960 said they would not vote for a black man. 50 years later, in 2008, Barack Obama is elected president of the United States. 4 years later, he's reelected. Does racism still exist in this country? Absolutely. Have we made amazing progress? Yes, because this is not the same country that was in existence in 1960.
Is America an inherently racist country? Abso-frickin-lutely. This country was literally founded by white Europeans escaping the politics of their country, coming here, trying to make Native Americans assimilate to their lifestyle that they deem to be okay, being so lazy, well, let's be honest, they couldn't build the country themselves. So they had to go steal black and brown bodies out of Africa, out of the Caribbean to now rebuild this country. This country is literally built on Native American burial grounds. Literally, this country was built on the backs of my ancestors. This is an inherently racist country because that's how it was started. Granted, 400 years later, am I a slave to this day? Technically speaking, no. And when I say technically speaking, I mean by what we determined to be a slave from back then. There are other forms of slavery. That's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day. But when it comes to the fundamental racism, that still exists. I'm gonna give you a little background on me. For those who don't know me, I'm a mixed breed. I'm a mutt. Call me what you want to call it. My grandfather is a pale-skinned Irishman. His wife was a chocolate brown Jamaican woman. My father was born in 1956, 11 years before the federal government said that my grandparents' marriage could not be held against. See, my grandparents had the beauty of being in New York where there was never such thing as an interracial marriage law. So they never had that issue. But had they been in Virginia, had they been in Texas, my grandmother would have been locked up, beat down and raped by the good old boys because of a quote unquote law. You can't tell me a country is not racist when the very first black girl to desegregate schools is only in her 60s. I'm 30.
As much as we can basically be disgusted by the history of racism in this country, yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that progress has been made. Can we make more? Absolutely. But there's nothing wrong with saying this is not 1960.
100%. I mean, you have to be blind to not get that fact, too.
I mean, it's not 1960, but it's not the year 3000 either. So we're still being affected. There are still lives at stake. This is such a problem at such a fundamental level. If we had just allowed them in 1967 to get married, we let that one go. We had just desegregated schools. Do you know how many years of disadvantage that is? Do you know how many years of being behind the system this is? But people want everyone to progress overnight. They're still racist, but yet we want everyone to progress. If the racists haven't stopped being racist and it's been 60 years, where are we now? Because this podcast is for self-reflection, is for us to, you know, analyze things and talk about how we feel and what maybe can help us change. How many of you listeners have a black friend? But people tend to stick with their herd, with their group. And if you don't have this exposure, really, what can you say right now?
Let's remove that, and I hate to say it, ignorant stereotype. I have a black friend. I don't give a good goddamn, because half the people who say I have a black friend, I don't look at my black friend like everybody else. I don't see, you know, my black friend Daquan the same way everybody else sees Tyrone. That doesn't mean you're not racist. That means you're intentionally blinding yourself when it comes to that person, removing their skin color, but not accepting who they are. That's number one. Number two, I have a question. You said, Ariana, you said, you know, we can't negate that there has been progress. What do you deem as progress?
The fact that you have so many African-Americans in key decision stakeholder positions. We had an African-American president in this country. You and I could go to the same law school together, sit in the same classroom and listen to the same lecture. And there's no issue with that. That is progress. You are here and nobody cares that you are here in a residential neighborhood and nobody's, what is that woman doing in here? That is progress.
I can only halfway agree with you. You are right. 50 years ago, it would have been absurd to even fathom the idea of there have been an African-American president. Shirley Chisholm tried it. She would have been the first black female. So is that considered a form of progress? I'll let you have that. I will give you that. But let's take into account the totality of the circumstances. Y'all like how I put that law school word?
I like that. I'm like, wait a minute.
Let's look at the totality of the circumstances. We got our first African-American president who was racially targeted on a regular basis, not just privately. And when I say privately, I mean by private citizens. It was transpired into the news, into newspapers, articles, people's campaign for, you know, their positions of leadership within politics. They literally called him a monkey. They called his wife a monkey. They had, you know, images with a noose around his neck. Is it progress for me to be here, yet you're still demeaning me and undermining me because of the color of my skin? Is that truly progress? Because that's like saying, you know, 30 years ago, I didn't want you here because you're Black. 10 years ago, I let you in even though you're Black, but I'm still going to belittle you on the same grounds that I didn't want you here to begin with. I had to let you in to make society happy. Doesn't mean I'm going to accept you. Doesn't mean I have fully moved past it. I'm just trying to make it look good. And I'm not saying Barack Obama wasn't, you know, a great starting point, but we can't try to make it seem like we have all of this supreme progression, which, truthfully speaking, we are still stuck in the mindset of our racial history. People want to say we have, you know, people making key decisions. Let's look at a lot of these top corporations. How in the hell is your director of diversity and inclusion a white person? What do you know about diversity and inclusion? Because that's not your life. And I'm not going to say every white person is the same. I'm not gonna say every Black person is the same. But if you want to say you're inclusive, how can you have someone regulate inclusivity who lives on that perch of, I don't need that?
So let me ask you a question. Can only a person that has a darker complexion, is that the only person that can talk about inclusivity?
That's not what I said.
No, I'm asking.
What I'm saying is, if I am looking to join an institution, to join an organization, and you're telling me the person who's in charge of inclusivity is a white woman, a white man, my first question is going to be, what backing do you have to put you in this position? Because it's not just education. I don't care that I have a master's degree. I get that. I'm not going to knock it. I'm here for it. What societal backing do you have behind it? I'm not saying that it's everybody. I'm not. But if we look at the greater scheme of things, it doesn't sit well with a lot of people, because that's like saying I run an all-Black charity, but my entire board is Asian. Wait, what?
Okay, so I want to say something about what you said earlier, and I want to clarify this because I also want you to clarify a point that you made.
Mm-hmm.
When I was saying that I grew up not seeing someone's color, it's more of I grew up not giving a damn whether you were Black or white or Asian or blue or green or red or whatever. You, as a person, who you are, how you act, the kindness that you have in your heart, because, yo, you can be Black and have an evil heart. You can be Hispanic and have an evil heart. You know, that was not what I meant. What I was trying to say is, for me, it was never a factor that would affect me. And also, because I live in North Miami, which is a predominantly Black community, okay, because I lived in Little Haiti growing up, because I was in Alabama, because I was in the Wynwood area, because that's where I grew up, you get me? I understood the culture. I grew up in that culture. Like Cassie said, look, we grew up in a minority community. What? We were broke. No, I don't come from money. Like I told you guys earlier, I'm the first one to make it, and I'm drowning in loans. If anyone wants to donate me, I'll start a GoFundMe account. Now, but what I'm saying is, now to the point that you made, that you said, just because, the point I'm trying to make is, if you don't have Hispanic or Black friends, if you don't sit here, look, Naima, you and I for years have sat down and discussed racial issues between your culture, my culture, this is what we do on an everyday basis to try to learn about each other, to try to understand each other, to try to help. You know, I'm not saying I don't acknowledge that you're a Black woman. Girl, I know you're a Black woman, and I know I'm a Hispanic woman. Look at us. Like, there's no hiding that, you know? And it's something that affects us every day. It affects how people see us when we walk by. You know, just like I know, people look at me, and they're always like, oh, you're an attorney? You made it? Oh, that's interesting. You look interesting. How did you make it? Do you have money? No, I come from nothing. And really, it was a struggle. You get me? And when you said, just because you have a Black friend, it doesn't make you not a racist. The point I was trying to say when I ask people, do you have a Black friend, is more, do you have someone that sits there with you and you understand what they're going through? Do you have someone that you sit there and I, like, you and I sit down all the time and discuss these issues? Because Just like you said a few seconds ago, it's not about education. You can be educated, but what gives you the right to talk about what's going on right now when you don't, you know? How can they know? How can they, it's you know, how could you and I, if you weren't my friend, how could I know what happens to you on an everyday basis? How could I understand your culture if I'm not involved in it? You know, and so we're sitting here and the people that don't have access to minorities, it's a weird thing to try to describe access to minorities. We're acting like we're like on some like shelf in Walmart. There are a lot of people that don't have Hispanic friends. I mean, some of my friends, when they met me, they're like, well, you're my first brown friend. You don't have someone right now. I think you need to take a look at yourself and see whether, I mean, if Naima just said that I have a black friend and I might be a racist, then if you don't have black friends, you might be a racist.
But
you know?
Can I, just to bring this back to like figures in power, right? So where I want to go with what your statement, you know, like being on a shelf and access to whatever, do you guys feel that political parties sometimes use a certain race and stick their hand up them and make them a puppet and use that as a distraction to say on all levels, we're just going to like ignore that. But because we propped him up on top, we're just going to negate all the other issues below. Like, for example, Obama.
I mean, forget Obama. How about we just stick with our current president, Trump? At some point, I even thought about going to a Trump rally so he could celebrate me and maybe cut me a check and be like, Hispanics are with us because I need money.
Yeah,
please donate. But you know, but we see it happen. Okay. But you see that happen. And then we have the wall getting built.
So I just want to go backwards a little bit. When I made my statement in response to your statement about having a black friend, I wasn't targeting you specifically. I was targeting the stereotype that people utilize. Like, I can't be racist. I have a black friend. That's what I was targeting specifically with that statement. So no, like, Yessi, I know where you were coming from. But at the same time, just because I understood it doesn't mean everybody's going to understand it the same way. One thing I definitely want to go back to is what you guys have brought up, specifically about exposure. You know, I lived in a black community. I went to a predominantly black school. I've had that. Where there may not be intentional exposure, after a while, you cannot say you didn't have exposure. You have to say it was a choice. I'll never forget when I was in high school. I will say in that regard, my parents did privilege me. I went to Catholic school my entire life because they felt like the New York City public school system was trash, which I don't disagree with. When I went to high school, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school in the richest zip code in the nation. Yes, I went to school across the street from Rockefeller House and I broke a shit. It is what it is. I'll never forget my freshman year. I was 13 and I had this girl openly say, as if she was just saying, hey guys, it's 12 p.m. She was like, I have never seen this many niggers in one place. Okay, now let the record show, this is Manhattan, New York. First of all, what made you comfortable enough to say nigger? Where literally everybody in that group that you were sitting in front of was a person of color. I am not that dark, but I was the lightest skinned person at that table because everybody at that table was either African American or from the Caribbean, you know, Haiti, Jamaica, Antigua. Like, you openly said that, like, you're just saying, it's 12 o'clock. What are you guys having for lunch? I ain't gonna get mad at you. You're a child. You're a minor. You are gonna be exposed to either A, what your parents allow you to be exposed to, or B, what you choose to expose yourself to behind your parents' back. But at what point am I no longer holding you to that standard? Because if you don't choose to go outside your comfort zone, you're never going to be able to expose yourself to other ideologies and other people. So I cannot hold a 21-year-old, I've never been around black people, I've never seen black. Have you ever left the 12-block radius that is your gated community? Have you ever gone outside, you know, those institutions, those organizations that your parents put you into? I was taken aback by the racial divide between Hispanics or Latinos, Latinas, whichever word you prefer to use for yourself, and black people. Because where I'm from, you black, you African-American, you Dominican, you Jamaican, you Puerto Rican, you Venezuelan, you Trini, we're one. We are all a minority group. We all stick up for each other. I never understood the ideology of white Cuban till I got down here. I actually never even heard that term till I got down here. But the fact that, you know, if you are of Hispanic descent, but are of a certain color, you think you're better than. I'm not saying this to everybody, but that is one of the tropes or one of the stereotypes. Or one of my favorite comedians, he always says this, and something that sticks well, it's always stick with me, how he's like, you know, he was...
So Hispanics is not a monolith. We all come from different countries with different cultures. So the political situation of each country frames the experience of each of those families that come to the United States. I'm a white Cuban. That doesn't mean that we feel that we're better than others. That doesn't feel like we look down at people with darker complexion. That just means that because of birth, because we were born into a family that had a lighter complexion, we speak Spanish and are white. That's just, we can't change that. We were born into that reality. Now there seems, and this is not just here in South Florida, white Cubans, because of the way they vote, and it's political, motivated, in my opinion, because they tend to vote Republican, they're targeted as either being racist or intolerant of other groups. So it, because of its political motivation, we're signaled out. Oh, you are a racist. You are not doing enough. And that doesn't appreciate why we vote that way. It's not a color issue for us. There's decades of reasons why we vote Republican. By the way, you go to a Trump rally, because I've been to one. Yes, Trump 2020. You're going to find a diverse group of people there. You're going to find blacks. There is such a thing as blacks for Trump. You're going to find Hispanic for Trump. That message has a broader appeal. And there's a lot of controversial comments that Trump has said, and that's another podcast. But that his message appeals to white Cubans, dark Cubans, Mexican Americans, black Americans. That exists. It's not an anomaly. It's not just a picture they put up there. Those people exist. I've met them. I've had coffee with them.
I mean, Naima even said her... Was
your brother? Yeah, no, one of my best friend's husband is a black man. He is a Republican. I'm not even going to bring the whole Trump issue specifically into it, because I've had people who are saying, I'm a Republican based on XYZ. I don't agree with Trump, but I do agree with the Republican Party. And I get where you're coming from when it's like, you know, people say that the white Cubans or the Cubans or Hispanics or any minority group that does vote for Trump is looked at as ignorant, this, that, and the third. I can't say who's ignorant and who's smart. I know people who got degrees upon degrees upon degrees, and their elevator does not leave the basement, all right? Let's be honest here.
Fair point.
However, what I will say is, or Betty, I might want to say it, I'm gonna pose it as a question. How can someone actively vote for a person whose not entire, but a strong basis of their motivation would literally kick you out this country, would literally kick your immigrant grandmother out this country, would literally belittle or see you as less than.
How we see this issue, the immigration issue specifically, it's legal immigration versus illegal immigration.
I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to make sure I put in there your illegal grandmother will be kicked out.
My parents were
not. I'm not saying you specifically.
I'm not saying
she's just giving us
what I'm saying is when it comes to the minorities who do vote for him.
Yes, the elite.
And they minority by, in other words, you are not of European descent. You are of other, quote unquote, they like to say it. How can you vote for someone whose political basis is anti your existence as a minority person? It's anti, you know, who your grandmother is. I'm not saying your grandmother specifically, but there are people who, let's be honest, your grandmother probably is not a legal immigrant, because I know people who have said, no, my grandmother came over from Cuba. She's been here 50 years and she's never gotten her citizenship, but she still voted for someone who is literally like, we need to send your grandmother back. How can you vote into a system that is not for you? And when I say for you, I think that the bigger piece a lot of people are thinking it, I'm not talking about your culture, your race, your history, because even though it's not you specifically, there are people who are white Cubans, black Cubans, whatever it is, who are of the minority diaspora that this, what you're voting into, would literally destroy.
Let Ariana finish hers.
So here's the issue. I think what you just said kind of underscores what's happening in this country, that due to the media, due to the salacious statements that Trump has made in the past, his complete policy position has been distorted. That we need to do something about the illegal immigration issue, which, by the way, President Barack Obama deported more illegal immigrants in this president than President Trump. So both sides agree that this is an issue in this country. So when you have minority communities that, by the way, made the line, that struggled to get their residency, that actually did what they were supposed to do, they're a bit intolerant when somebody just wants, oh, I want my residency because I'm here already. Give it to me. That leaves a very sour taste in your mouth. My culture, as you put it, what was done to Cuba, the agreement that Kennedy made with the Soviet Union not to touch Cuba in exchange for the missiles to be removed from Cuba, that affected everybody on that island. My family's property and liberties were destroyed. Why? Because of an ideology a communist ideology that the only thing it was equal was poverty. Everybody was impoverished. And you want to talk about police brutality? Go to Cuba. So when you say, oh, Trump is a racist, Trump is this, you're not listening to what he's saying. You're letting MSNBC and CNN tell you what he's saying. If you actually go to one of his rallies, he talks about it. We're not talking about the legal immigrant. We're not talking about the person who's here working hard. We're talking about the people, and that's the disconnect. You can disagree with me, and I will defend your right to disagree with me, but I think that that's the problem. People like me who support that platform are talking that illegal immigration is, because you cannot have a lawless society. It's impossible. We would all fail. Borders exist for a reason. You think Mexico treat Ecuadorians and Salvadorians with respect? The police brutality that occurs on the Mexican border with Central America is disgusting. You know what they do to Cubans when they reach Mexican shores? They put them in a boat and send them back to tyranny on the island. So because we want to look at it from an international perspective, what are other countries do to protect their borders? Why is it the United States cannot defend its own borders? We're not saying no immigrants. We're just, there needs to be a process. You need to streamline, and you also need to be more particular.
So I'm backing up everything that Ariana is saying. And as someone that is Central American, my parents are Guatemalan. They're closing the border whenever things get rough and they have a lot of immigrants. They're not really nice to Salvadorian immigrants or Honduran immigrants. They're kind of mean, actually, you know? And it's as a Hispanic and a Hispanic from Central America, I see more than anyone the irony of, open your doors, U.S., but you're shutting your doors. Like, there's a Central American country right next to you that's doing worse than you, and they want to come here to better their lives, to work, and you're like, no, 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 you don't come in here, you know? And on top of all the issues Ariana did bring up, one issue that you and I have spoken about, you know, in lengths, you know, and I have no problem sharing it. Mm-hmm. I am the daughter of immigrants. They crossed the river, okay? And for me, it goes to the children. You know, that's who I think of. I was a kid with immigrant parents who every day was terrified they were going to get shipped off to another country and I would be alone. I was the kid to parents that did not speak English and could not help me in school. I did it alone, and it sucked. And I am grateful for what they did. I am so grateful for the opportunity and the struggle that they went through to make it where I am today. Because where I am today would have not been possible had they not decided to go to another country where they didn't speak the language, where they had no family members. It was horrible, but the way I grew up sucked. That fear that their parents are working jobs that aren't safer, because no one likes to talk about that issue, that their parents are getting low paid. Yeah, the American dream is beautiful. It is. And this is a land of opportunity. But when you come here illegally, it's really not a safe place. You're constantly terrified of the police. I grew up and English was my second language. So I was bullied as a kid when I couldn't pronounce things. I was made fun of left and right. Are from a third world country. You don't speak the language. Your money that you're making is not that much, okay? And I thank God that my parents were smart and, you know, they made it happen. It sucks to say, but unfortunately, the ones that are trying to cross over here are not the best ones. You know, I have no problem with you sending the best out of every country. Yo, let's make America great. Like, seriously, let's bring the best we can. Immigration is not the issue, you know? But when you're an illegal immigrant, yo, it's terrifying. And so you ask, why would someone vote against that? You know why? Because we need to stop the way what these kids are going through. At least for someone that went through it personally, I wouldn't want another kid to grow up the way I did. I wouldn't want a kid to be terrified every day. And thank God my parents didn't get arrested. Thank God they got their papers straight. You know, that was a 15-year process, you know? But some people don't have that privilege. So then they come here, their parents get arrested, okay? And where do they end up? In a country, because their parents are probably going to try to take them back. Or in the foster system. And like Ariana said, some people love to bring up the issue. Well, who's going to do the jobs? Who's going to, you know, pick the tomatoes? Who's going to clean your bathrooms? Who's going to do this for you? Americans don't want to do it. Does that mean that you can underpay people and treat them like crap because the Hispanics want to do them? Because the money in their country is... For every dollar, you get 7 quetzales, which are Guatemalan currencies, or you get, you know, 10 other things or something else. My parents came here and they had intent to stay and not go back and live in a nice mansion in Central America or South America.
I feel you. I feel both of you. You both made a very, very valid point. And, you know, yes, Jesse and I have had that conversation before. I've had this conversation with other people. And I get where you're coming from. I get your passion behind it. You want to say, you know, they're promoting Trump's salacious remark. You know, it's not even a Trump conversation. I can't promote what's not said. I can't can't take offense or feel some sort of way about something that doesn't exist. But clearly it exists because it was said by him. The reason why I say it's against your culture, your community, is because you're intentionally, by you, I mean Trump or his administration, whichever term you prefer, you're intentionally saying the Mexicans coming across the border. It's the Cubans. It is the immigrants of color who are the issue, but you're not including European immigrants. There are people from Europe who we consider white. And when he's throwing out all of the bad people, the bad immigrants, I've never heard him say one thing about the bad immigrants who in this country would be considered white.
I want to say something about that.
Go ahead.
So do I.
Here goes this. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Russians and the sex trafficking issues we have. I mean, Cassie, we talk about this a lot. There are issues here. There's human trafficking going left and right. You know, let's not talk about the Chinese mob. They exist. Let's not pretend the Chinese or the Asians or the Japanese or the Koreans are all sitting there in the top colleges just being good boys and girls. You know, have friends. We all talk. There are situations. And that's a good point to make, because that's something that I've also said. If we're going to target one, let's just go across the board with everyone, you know? But there's also an issue that I like to bring up when this topic is brought. It's a weird way to phrase it, and Ariana, maybe you could phrase me a little better here. Some people do crimes that are like money laundering.
Yeah.
It's a little bit clean. It's a little hard to get you. You know, some people are human trafficking and have crazy connections. I mean, we have that this guy, can't pronounce his name right now, with all the politicians involved. That was hard. It's a little hard to get the Europeans. They have a little bit more money and stability and history of, you know, doing a little better.
I think it's just the issue at hand. So I think, again, going back to my point that was mentioned a while ago, it's the numbers, right? So it's a number game. And it's what's the most relevant situation for right now, especially when it comes to elections, political events, what's affecting people at a higher rate, who's getting harmed in schools, MS-13, all of these issues are numbers for politicians to look at as an issue. If crossing the border was not a problem and the numbers were not there, trust me, Trump would not be spending our money on that wall. There would have to be numbers that are brought before any type of committee, any type of board, to make it just feasible to put the dollar amount towards that decision. So I think that's just something to look at. If you just bring, you know, all of the other points aside and you just look at the numbers, that's usually what drives a lot of the decisions. Is there racial hate underneath it? Probably. But if the numbers are there, that's going to be a really easy way for me to fund my racism.
So here's the thing.
Good woman.
Yeah.
I think that there's two branches to the illegal immigration problem. There's the people that are coming through the border, and then there are people that are overstaying visas. Those are two different types of issues.
Well, that's the Italians in New Jersey.
Right. So what happens is that you have you can look up the stats of the number of illegal immigrants who have committed crimes in this country. You can look up the stats.
Okay.
It's not fiction. Those stats exist. Okay, if this is community is creating crime in certain areas, let's shut down the flow into more in that community. Because the thought process is, if you go into the United States legally, they can vet you. Do you have a criminal record? What are you going to do once you reach the States? I mean, when my parents came over, they had to do an affidavit and answer all those questions. They even had to go through a health examination to see what kind of condition they were health-wise. So that is the thought process. It's not about hatred towards minorities. It's not that we don't want people. This country was made on the backs of immigrants.
I'm sorry, I am disputing that. This country was not made on the backs of immigrants. This country was made on the backs of slaves. We did not choose to be here. We were forced here. So you cannot equate one to another. You cannot do that. Regardless of what happened in your parents' country of Cuba, they made a decision to come here. That's an immigrant. You packed up your bags and left your country to go somewhere else, that's an immigrant. When you are stolen off of your land and forced to go somewhere else, that's not immigration. That is slavery. That is theft. That is murder. It's not the same. So you cannot say this country was formed on the backs of immigrants. The Europeans who came here, they want to consider themselves immigrants because they fled their European country. Once again, they're not even immigrants because you stole the land from people who are already here. So don't say this country, which was built on the backs of Black and brown Native American bodies unwillingly, that this was country was built on the backs of an immigrant. They were not immigrants. They were maimed, killed, and stolen in order to get this country where it is today. You cannot compare the two. The same way we want to differentiate, essentially, it seems like the argument is we're essentially differentiating between the quote-unquote illegal immigrants who are rapists and the illegal immigrants who are going through with human trafficking. Because we're differentiating them, we're considering two different people. So you cannot, if we're going to differentiate as a whole. This country was not built on the backs of immigrants. It was built on the backs of people who were killed, stolen, on stolen land by thieves who now want to be considered immigrants because they think they're better than, for clarification. So
if you wanted to put it that way, it's a nation of immigrants because nobody except the Native Americans can say that they are native to this land. If you were European, if you were African, you came from somewhere else.
So the issue is, were you forced here? Were you paid to be here? Did you choose to come here because you wanted a better opportunity? I'm sure the Black culture would be like, I don't know if my people were like, I'm down to go over there right now and I want to go there in these conditions. But I'm sure that's not the case.
And that was a horrendous thing that happened and nobody's disputing that. And nobody's trying to invalidate that.
I think there's just a difference between immigration, which is seems like a more cushy process to go through than...
Here's the thing, though. It goes back, I don't know if you guys can hear me, to the first thing I said, you know, earlier today. And I guess at this point, we need to learn and have these conversations with each other because I think this is an amazing perspective and an amazing thing Naima said. She's right. People were brought here against their will. These individuals were slaves. They you can't throw them under an immigrant category. And to do so is quite offensive. So the right term would be this country was built off of the backs of immigrants and slaves. So why is that not the phrase that we hear all the time? Because in my opinion, after what Naima just brought up and what she said, that's the proper thing we should be saying. This country was built off of immigrants because there were Europeans that came here willingly. There were Italians. You know, we have a whole history on that, but there were slaves.
Yeah. Some people came through Ellis Island. Some people came through, you know, on ships and, you know, other
some people
terms.
Crossed the border.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Let the record show. Immigrant is defined as a person who comes to live permanently in a foreign country. Your family came here. My family was forced here.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said this phrase should be immigrants and slaves, not just immigrants.
But no. But it's a thing. You can't say immigrants and slaves. Immigrants didn't build this country. Immigrants enslaved people to build a country for them. That's the difference. Granted, yes, you know, our political power, our police power, everything that was done to enhance this newfound country and make these systems was done by the quote unquote immigrants because it was the Europeans who came to the quote unquote new land and built the United States of America. They did found those things. But how did this country come to be? How did it grow? Where did the money come from? The money came off of the backs of the people who were forced to be here.
Free labor.
So this is a genuine question. It's not coming from a bad place. When you say built, what exactly are you talking about? Because businesses...
Where do you think the economy came from? Where do you think the infrastructure came from?
No, I'm asking a legitimate question. But I'm not trying to be hostile towards...
No, people. Not at all. But that's what I'm saying. Okay. Where do you think the economy came from? The economy came from the slave labor, which turned into the slave trade. It came from the slaves out in the field, picking the cotton, picking the tobacco, planting everything, so that then their white slave masters can make those trades, earn that money, and keep building things. So just because slave master Tom paid for it, how did he get that money? He got that money off of, you know, Chicken George in the field picking that cotton that slave master Tom didn't want to pick himself. If Chicken George didn't pick that cotton, slave master Tom ain't got no money. You ain't got no money, you can't build anything.
What about after emancipation? Is it the same
quote unquote indentured servitude? Because actually, what was it? Black people were not even knowledgeable that they were free for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So now it's turned around, well, you free slave, quote unquote, they like to call it, you ain't got no money. I have to let you go, but you ain't got no money. You have nowhere to go. So what happens? It turned into this indentured servitude where now you're still working that same plantation just to maintain a roof over your head. But how do we even get there? How do we get to the point of emancipation? The funds that built it up, that brought us there, where did those funds come from? It came from the slave masters who overworked and outwork, well, had their slaves outwork and do too much work, so you had the funds to build.
I come from an immigrant family, so I'm trying to understand. Again, it's coming from a place.
Yeah, and it's good that we're doing this because it's a good discussion.
I don't think anything here is hostile. I think it's passionate people talking their points. I feel I need
to say this because I'm going to, because of the temperature, at least I sense that it got a little heated.
Okay.
You cannot deny that Irish Americans put in work into this country. They built railroads. They were in factories. You cannot deny that people that are picking tomatoes out in the field right now are putting work into this country, the gardeners. Mm-hmm. Yes, obviously what happened to the African people being stolen from their homeland and brought over here is a tragedy. And there was a lot of wealth built on those tiers. Nobody's denying that. But when she talked about the statement of his immigrants and slaves, what is wrong with that statement? It's not trying to dismiss the struggle of the Black community or what you guys went through. It's just trying to acknowledge there were people, Irish, who had to just sit there and let people basically disrespect them for being Irish. Cubans who suffered the same thing, Mexicans who put in hard labor to build this country like that. Because
no, the,
right.
Thank you.
There's so many groups that came to this country and put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. Yes, blacks, absolutely. But you're not the only group. And at least what I'm hearing is if anybody even says, oh, immigrants too put in work, it's almost like inconceivable to think that. And I understand what you mean. You were your people were stolen and brought here and enslaved. I understand that completely. But after, there's other groups too that have worked hard, have been in horrible working conditions in factories and elsewhere. That plight also exists. That work and sweat is also into the blood of this country.
And I think just from being like outside of your two's conversation right now is that I don't think Naima is saying it was just us that did it. It's that we came here on different terms and we were forced to do it, where you came here willingly wanting to do it because you wanted to be a part of an economy that you wanted to build with. That was never a choice. I think she wants to differentiate the lack of choice, because it wasn't just one choice. It was many choices that they had the lack of. And I think that's a difference here.
And I understand that difference, but she's talking about the work and how this country was built. I'm not dismissing that, but you cannot dismiss that there's been immigrant hands that have also helped this economy.
Absolutely. I don't think there's anything to dismiss other people's work. It's just how you were able to take part in that.
Jesse, you've been raising your hand for a while.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand why this went the way it did, because even though I know that Naima was probably not trying to say this, it is how I understood it as well, which is why I understood why Ariana brought the question up. What do you mean by built? Because I had that same question as well. Like when you said, no, it's not immigrants and slaves, you know? And then you went back to throwing that. So when she asked, what's wrong with that statement? Like, what would be the best way? Because this is an interesting topic. And, you know, to our listeners, it's a good thing to think about, you know? We always say, and I include myself, this country is a country of immigrants. I have never heard a lot, like, other than Naima and a couple of my friends that have brought this issue up to me, at least in the media. Maybe I have been listening to the wrong news source, or I'm talking to the wrong people on the media. I've never heard the term, this country was built on slaves, you know, except for my friends. And that's why I said, what would the proper term be for us to change and understand our history and be aware of these issues? Because when I hear now, this country was built on immigrants, you're totally dismissing the slaves. Naima has a great point. You're totally taking away a huge group of history, a bunch of years, a bunch of facts away by not including immigrants and slaves. Because an immigrant, again, I agree with Naima, is someone that has to go willingly to another country and lives there. You didn't come here willingly. You were a slave. You were forced against your will. You were taken from your family. You were taken from your home. You were taken from the opportunity of investing in your country, in your people, in your life. And that's something that we need to acknowledge in that statement, which is why I said that the proper term for us to use, at least since we're having this discussion and we're educating ourselves together, is immigrants and slaves.
But my understanding, and Naima can correct me if I'm wrong, she objected to that. And that was and I believe that is just like, we don't want to dismiss the plight of the slaves and the black community. There's immigrants who have put their blood, sweat, and tears into this country. That's a fact. But I think...
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Ride Owl Politics. The third episode of the series will be released tomorrow, June 14th. Thank you again for tuning in, for all your love and support for this episode. We've been getting great feedback, and every comment, every share, every like is appreciated. So, thank you for joining the conversation. And remember, we're not your dad's political news show, so spread the word.